the bit.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Generation Next. It's 7:06. We have quite a full studio today. We have Emma, Jacob, Anna, and M. Quite a mouthful to say.
The most confusing names.
Very confusing. Now, we have quite a jam-packed show today. We're talking a bit about Midsummer, a bit about Margaret Court and all that controversy, and a bit about some weird outfits, we'll say the least. Now, how is everyone today?
Pretty good.
Really actually. Good.
Yeah. Very well, thank you.
How was everyone's Midsummer?
I didn't go.
Oh.
I was sunburned, so no comment.
Sunburn for you?
No, sunburn.
Yeah, a lot of pink noses.
Yeah, you can tell who went in this studio. It's just like redness on like half the people in here.
It's actually terrible. Quite warm in here because of all the heat that our sunburn's giving off.
I think I'm getting sunburnt from all of the heat that's coming off you guys.
Radiation.
Now, what's the next song we're playing today, Emma?
We're about to hear Samantha Mumba, Gotta Tell You. And I apologise in advance because it's a really crap song, but I like it a lot.
Oh, this happens every single week with Emma. Not going to lie. All right, so talking a little bit more about Midsummer, I have my little weird story of Midsummer to go. My boyfriend pretty much was like, let's go to this festival. I had no clue what it was. I suppose only being gay this year, I'd never heard of it. I rock up, I'm like, oh, there's a joy tent, that's cool. Like, and then I'm like, there's a lot of topless guys and everyone is quite more flamboyant than a usual festival. Took me so long to actually realise. And I'm like, I was talking to my boyfriend's niece. I'm like, is this a gay festival? She's like, yeah. I'm like, ah. Oh. And the only reason I went is because I was told there was a jumping castle, which there was not.
I didn't see a jumping castle.
Yeah, there was one last year. So a friend's like, there's going to be a jumping castle. I'm like, yes. And then I got there, highly disappointed.
Did your boyfriend realise that it was Midsummer?
Yeah, he knew. Like, he knew it all. I think he just presumed I would know what Midsummer was, and I'm just like, ah, cool, having...
Well, there was estimated to be about 120,000 people there this year, and I mean, everyone that was there, it was massive, wasn't it?
Yep. And, I think that was what they'd just moved it to that location as well, so...
Yeah, it used to be in Alexandra Gardens, correct me if I'm wrong. No one's correcting me, I must not be wrong.
Good to me.
Yeah, no, it was such a good day.
Apparently going to get lots of funding to continue in the next few years, which is really great.
It was so huge. I can't believe how many people were there. It was just like, that hill was just like covered in people, and that hill was steep enough to get up, let alone like stepping on people and like climbing up people.
I saw a little kid rolling down that hill and I thought, God, that looks like fun. And I really had to talk myself out of it.
The simple joys of life.
No.
A few more drinks and you'd be fine. the event actually cost $150,000, I've heard. So that's pretty... Like, it's a decent price that it was. And, as you were saying, they're getting funding, did you?
Yeah. So they announced that ArtsVic's going to fund them to the extent of, I think, $20,000 to continue. So even though those kind of events cost a lot to run, obviously, it's, like, a lot of fun, a lot of people down there, big kind of community festival in addition to being for the LGBTI community.
Yeah, I saw lots and lots of families looking very hetero but having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I think the funding's actually a grant as well, so it'll be over a couple of years, which is great.
Yeah.
Great.
My favourite thing just about the gay festival was you can just go half naked and no one cares. Because my thing about just being around is like, I love just being topless and finally an area where I was accepted.
Such a floozy.
And what's the next song, Emma?
Fit But You Know It by The Streets.
Yeah,
I knew you'd like this one.
Now, speaking a little about gay events, I went to Swagger, the R&B club, this weekend, and I'm shocked how many gay clubs are coming in Melbourne now, because there's not much choice at all, is there? Like, there's like IQ Thursday and Peel pretty much every other night, and that's all you have.
A lot of clubs are doing like specific nights now too.
Yeah, that's what Swagger was. You can totally tell it. That's it. Because you walk up to the bar, and they're the most straight dudes, yeah. and they just hate you. They're like, why am I working here?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't like me, nonetheless. They did have, like, a love heart drawn on my cheek, and that's I might have taken a bit too far.
I think it's great, though, that there's lots of more choice, because Melbourne's not really that big of a city, so it's good when you've got a bit more choice about where you can go out at night.
Well, now you've got, yeah, like, Swagger, Bottom on Top, that's in Melbourne now. You've got Grouse, the lesbian club, and, like, Orlando in Brunswick. There's a fair few options.
Yeah, because before that, it's always sort of Barry's on a Thursday night and the Peel. And
drunken Maccas.
And then McDonald's and then home to bed.
Yeah, but the gay clubs, I've been tearing out my best moves, I think. My friend said to me the other day, I dance like a child. I took that as a big... It could be a compliment or I'm taking it as I'm free-spirited and don't have any worries.
I would take that as a compliment. Yeah. I love watching kids dance because they just don't care and they're busting all the moves.
And they've got rhythm. Yeah. They don't have that whole self-esteem problem yet where they're like, I look stupid while I'm swaying.
Because my dance is pretty much just jumping and throwing my arms around and who knows what. And we saw a bit of Emma's style dancing a second ago. Dad danced.
My dad danced. I was really enjoying that song until it decided to go AWOL.
It's difficult when you're sitting down. You kind of, what are you going to do? Wave your arms and...
It's all in the upper
that's
body.
That's about it.
Your upper body strength. What else is it for? Em and I were actually talking earlier about a song that I saw posted on Facebook today by a girl called Simone Battle, which I believe was in an American talent show. And the song's about falling in love with a gay man.
And we can find out a little bit more about that after the song. I think we'll get the gist of what's happening. Welcome back to Generation Next at 7:25. Now, if you want to contact us at all, how do you go about doing that, Anna?
You can call us on 1300-JOY-949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter. So if you are, then you should be on us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, be on us on Facebook and Twitter.
You just need to search Generation Next in the little search bar on Facebook or twitter.com/GenNextJoy949 is how you get involved
now,
in social networking.
Now, falling in love with gay guys. I hear a couple of you have had this happen before.
Try constantly. Happens all the time.
Yeah, I find working in the arts, pretty much every single guy that you'd be attracted to is going to be gay.
You know how people say, oh no, they put me in the friend zone, and often it's boys talking about girls, you know, they put me in the friend zone. I've been told a couple of times that I'm an honorary gay man, and I think that's the female equivalent of being put in the friend zone.
That's a diplomatic way of someone telling you you're in the friend zone.
Yeah. Right smack bang in the friend zone.
Didn't you have a little love interest with Jacob's boyfriend? No.
Oh, maybe in primary school.
I remember you stating that.
Just thought we'd pop that story in there.
Yes, he's actually cheating on him with me, but awkward that you would bring that up on air.
And they're flying out of the country to get away.
from the scandal. We've actually known each other since primary school, so that might be where that little bit of confusion came from, but it's possible. Who knows? It's a small town. Slim pickings.
All right, so I've been going to Mardi Gras, and I've just, the last week, I've just been trying to find my outfit, what I'm going to wear. I'm one of those people who dress up quite ridiculous all the time when I go out.
You give it your all. Yeah. That's great.
And my thing was, I want to dress as a cocktail.
Such a good idea.
I think it's a great idea too.
The thing is, just how I go about doing that. I wanted the stem to be my body, and then from there, I'm not really sure.
Is seeing or breathing an issue? Because sure, there's a bunch of ideas, but I'm not sure if any of them are really oxygen friendly.
Oh,
you
give
can
it a
always
go.
Like have a little like scuba diving like a mouthpiece snorkel that pops out the top of your cocktail,
and you could put an olive on your snorkel. That's great.
And I think you should carry some sort of trident as a swizzle stick, because no cocktail is complete without a swizzle stick. In my opinion.
Definitely. And then maybe you should carry a hip flask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Can we promote that?
I'm not sure. Oh, my God.
Young, hip, and in the know, then you're tuned into the right place. Generation Next, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Gen Next. As we were talking before, we're talking about outfits, then I want to dress as a cocktail to Mardi Gras.
He wants to pick your brain, everybody. You should let us know how we should dress.
Yeah, so contact us if you do. 1300-JOIN-949 or onair@joy.org.au. Now, what are some of your most craziest outfits, guys?
Em was just saying she went as a piece of sushi.
Yeah, I went to a Japanese-themed party and I dressed up in black, and actually the most outrageous thing was really the hat, which was I spent a lot of time on and, you know, got trashed up
with. Which had lots of raw fish on it.
It was just like a big black piece of cardboard with a lot of rice on it, and then I'd cut out these like salmon-shaped things, and I had what would be kind of corks bobbing off it like in a Cooper hat, which were the little mini soy sauce little little things. I quite liked it.
That's fantastic. You're sort of channeling Lady Gaga with like the
absolutely Lady Gaga.
That's awesome.
I reckon Anna would have had something very crazy.
Yeah. Not crazy, but embarrassing. My most embarrassing dress up, I went as Britney Spears from her video Hit Me Baby One More Time. So I had like, and it was a Halloween party. So I had like the little fluffy things in my hair and pigtails and stuff, and this little like schoolgirl outfit, and I got there and everyone was wearing like really Halloween type stuff, so there were like ghosts and vampires and like devils, and I've just like pranced in there with my blonde wig, and it was so embarrassing.
That, when you over-tart it.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've clearly just missed the memo.
It is a thing for girls. It's that level of sluttiness, what you should go to.
Duh, I'm a mouse.
Jacob just saying in the background, duh, I'm a mouse from Mean Girls.
But I think my outfit that I never let go, I bought a Harry Potter outfit, and it's amazing. Like, it's the best Harry Potter outfit you'll ever see, but I make an excuse to wear it to every party. Like, I'm one of those people that's like, you've worn that too many times.
What does it not look even like? A dress up party.
Well, I've got this. I'm too obsessed with Harry Potter.
No, yeah. What does it look like?
I've got like the whole like gown or whatever you would call it with the whole Gryffindor symbol on it. I got my, like, grandmother to make that for me, and I've got, yeah, the whole school outfit, the proper glasses, I've got, like, a wand. It's a bit sad, I'm not going to lie.
Sounds fantastic. That's fantastic.
Like a grown man at a Trekkie convention, it's just a little bit sad.
And I look like about 40 in it. I've just age in it. I don't know how. I'm just, with those glasses.
Maybe because the kids are like 14 years old that are wearing it.
Maybe, yeah, because it's a couple of sizes too small. Size 6 from Spotlight.
Bought it from a toy store and it just doesn't go all the way down.
Maybe.
There's a bear in bed. Chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Play School.
Oh, you guys, you left me hanging.
We were all just zoned out.
Hey guys, don't forget to sing Gay School. Yeah, no worries, Emma, we won't.
Welcome back to Generation Next. You're with Emma, Anna, Patrick and Emily. There's a few of us in the studio here.
It's a bit of a mouthful with all the vowel-sounding girl names.
Oh, absolutely.
And Patrick.
That's the bit I really struggle with.
So we're going to talk about a couple of articles that have been in the news that we've found interesting over the past few days. I'm going to kick it off with what I read this afternoon about a 16-year-old guy from Perth who's living in London that has developed an app which has been bought for $250,000 to summarise Google searches into dot points, which I thought was a really clever idea and was amazed that it was developed by a 16-year-old. Plus, he gets $250,000. I was wondering, if you were 16 and you got $250,000 American dollars, what would you do with it?
I've got no idea. It seems like such a huge responsibility to have that amount of money.
Well, like, he would have to have an internship, or they would have had to hire him as well. Like, it would have had to be on a contract. A kid that talented.
They're not just going to slip him $250,000 under the table and be like, be gone with you.
And if he's clever enough to create that sort of application, I think he's probably clever enough to handle his finances. He'll probably...
The next Steve Jobs.
Yeah, really mature stuff with it. Not like I would.
It's amazing to be 16 and to have the capacity.
Even now, I would be like, I just want a massive, like, ball pit. That's all I really want.
I was going to say, it's entirely possible that I was still playing with Barbies when I was 16. So it's a bit depressing to hear about these kids that are so smart.
Mm.
Well, not depressing. It's good.
You should have no future.
You're in a great place, Emma.
Jacob and I were actually talking because we were doing a bit of volunteer work at Midsummer and chatting to some kids, and some of them were really mean. And we were like, they're obviously so much younger than us. We'll never be cool.
Yes, they're so much cooler than you.
I never really grew into that cool older person thing. Apparently, I'm just a creepy older person because they were so mean.
They're just getting ready to mace you.
You still get intimidated by it. They're like 16, have their skateboard, and you're like, what are they going to do to me? But you walk up, you're like, hey.
There was like four of them. They had really cool hair and tattoos and stuff.
You like move away from them at the train station and stuff. Like, I don't like the look of those kids.
I'm just like, accept me.
You can just do your gay cheer dance, Emma, when they come around.
Show them my radio face.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Back to gay school.
All right. The next story is about Margaret Court. Now, I'm pretty tennis obsessed, but she's very, very homophobic and has made it very clear. So the main thing is Facebook have led a campaign for a rainbow flag over Margaret Court Arena to protest against Court's fundamental views on homosexuality and marriage equality. Now, firstly, Margaret Court is her name and the court itself. That's her surname, not to be confused, but I hope that happens. A rainbow flag all over her.
Yeah, well, it's a really sort of non-disruptive thing that you can do to say it's not okay that you're saying these things. And it's not, I mean, I've read a couple of quotes and she's like, what, these people don't want me to come to the tennis? And those sort of comments, like these people, inverted commas, is so detrimental. And I just think it's a really great sort of peaceful protest that you can do. If you're gay, straight, whatever, you can go and you can take a rainbow flag and you can be like, hey, F you.
Yeah, and effective as well with all of the media coverage.
Exactly,
of the
exactly.
And the video footage.
The way that the courts are set up, you see crowd. Like on every sort of television coverage, you can see crowd. So it's really, I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been, in a lesbian couple did get married in Canada. Now, I try to read this article. I'm pretty bad at reading, so I could be telling incorrect facts right now. So please text in if I'm...
Disclaimer. It's possible that none of this is true. Lies.
I'm just making up the story, really. Nah, but, yeah, they want a divorce. And, yeah, the systems aren't really sure what is the go with that because Australia, and I don't think they really had a law on Canada even what's the go if someone from another country gets married and wants a divorce when it's not legal there.
Yeah.
I think our laws are just so far behind that there's really there's no precedent has been set for this. So it's sort of happened and everyone's kind of gone, ooh, hands in the air.
Yes.
This has never happened before.
So what I've understood is Canada have made it valid that you can get a divorce and it's valid in Canada, you've divorced. So if you go to live in Canada, you will be recognised that you've had a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that they got married in Canada and it was legal
when they got married,
to get married, so therefore to get divorced in Canada makes sense.
It's
like in their legal system. Yeah. And it's just that that the governments of different countries that don't necessarily endorse that marriage, they don't really recognise necessarily when they're going to...
Isn't it funny because there's so many laws that sort of vary from country to country, but marriage has always sort of been the same...
It's been the constant.
The same thing. Yeah. Like, it's the only... Well, it's not the only, but it's one of the only real constant things apart from death and taxes. You know, you think marriage is going to be pretty much the same across the board. So it's kind of throwing a spanner in the works. And I think you're completely right, Anna. It just shows how outdated we are, that we don't know how to cope with this... you know, sort of as a country.
It's a real kind of head in the sand response too, I think, that everyone's just sort of, they don't know how to deal with it. So it's kind of like, oh, Canada's problem. And it it just doesn't make sense.
And then things like this, they need to happen so precedents can be set and we can sort of find our way. I just really hope that it's sooner rather than later, because I'm getting sick of harping on about it.
Yeah. I know. That's what I feel we ever talk about. And then when we do, we'll be like, cool, we're too happy now.
Now we're going to have a show about something.
We need to find a new cause when that happens. Be like, what can we do now?
What can we hate?
A campaign for, yeah.
I'm pretty anti-dim sims.
anti-dim sims. You clearly not have had a dim sim from the South Melbourne market.
Oh,
then.
I have.
Oh, really?
I just don't like them. They're gross.
But I'm sure they're bad for you. I used to be against them, but I, when you have a good dim sim, it's quite an amazing thing. I don't know why we're talking about dim sims right now. Welcome back to Gen Next. It's 7:52. I struggle reading that analog clock much. It takes me, I like pause and I'm like, 10, what's 10, 50? Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Tumblr. I swear it's only appeared in the world about a week ago.
You say that about everything. I think you walk around with your eyes closed, mister.
I think I just, don't really pay attention, because my boyfriend's niece just moved from America and she's staying with us. And I swear every minute she's just on Tumblr and she's just scrolling down and just looking at pictures. And I'm like, that looks so boring. Like, maybe a few pictures, but it's just like random images just scrolling and scrolling. I'm like, what is this?
It's endlessly amusing. If you're following the right blogs, it is just endlessly amusing. And it's this like brand of humor that nobody else seems to have. It's the kids on Tumblr with all of their comedy. It's fantastic.
What are some of your favorite stories?
I was saying to everyone before, there's a guy has put a letter on the internet that he wrote after he received a burrito where the food hadn't been layered one on top of the other, but instead put in order. So it would be like a clod of sour cream next to some meat, next to some lettuce. And he's just gone on this like 5-paragraph rant at the guy who made the burrito and his ineptitude at burrito building. It is so funny. And there's so much rage in this letter. It's hilarious.
Where can we find it? On Tumblr?
On Tumblr, yeah. I don't know what the kind of address is for it, but if you search burrito as a keyword on Tumblr, I'm sure it's probably going
to
pop up.
Could you find it? We could link to it on...
We
could do that.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I love those overreactions. They always are so amusing to me, reading people's overreactions.
It'd be pretty revolting, though, to be going to eat a burrito and just having, like, the mouthful of sour cream, and then a little while later, just the boring bit of lettuce. And then
I have my biggest hate with food is when you get a parma and the parma's on top of the chips. I cannot stand
patty.
I'm like, why would you? The chips go soggy and they're gross.
To me, that's like extra value. They're like...
more parma.
Yeah, more parma, more chips. They're making full use of the plate.
No, that's my one thing I can't stand.
I've only ever had one parma in my entire life, and it is the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten.
This constantly shocks me.
You?
It's Are you a vegetarian?
No. I don't eat a lot of meat.
It's not appealing at all.
I'm probably going to have one tonight after the show. I'm not going to lie. I tell you what, you have your South Melbourne dim sims. I'll have my parma.
All right. We can agree to disagree.
I just feel Anna is a parma girl. Like, you look at Emma and she's like, Anna, you would enjoy a good parma. That's what I think when I see you. First impression I got. Highly disappointed.
My first thought when I met you was that girl loves a parma. She's on the $10 pot and parma train.
That could potentially be really offensive. First thought when I met you was, oh, she's enjoyed a couple of parmas.
She's had a few too many parmas in her day.
Oh, dear.
You twist all my words.
I know I shouldn't. I'm sorry. I enjoy parma.
That's good.
Can you tell that about me? Oh, look, I'm going to play a song before we keep waffling on. Filthy Gorgeous by the Scissor Sisters.
Oh, we've got to say goodbye now. Quite emotional. And there's one other... there's one other person we have to say goodbye to again. For how many times
is this? The 18th time.
Yeah, look, I said my big lame goodbye 2 weeks ago. So goodbye again, and I'm definitely going overseas tomorrow night. So it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And you guys are doing a fantastic job. I can't wait to listen in next week.
So we'll see him here next week.
Yeah,
probably.
It's a little bit John Farnham, the last tour.
That's the boy who cried Scotland's. Thanks for listening to us, guys. If you'd like to get in touch touch with us, you can email generationnext@joy.org.au, get in touch on 0427JOY949 because we will still get them even if we're offline. Mm-hmm. And please follow us on Facebook and Twitter because we just love you too.
We do. See ya.
Bye.
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 This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.